In Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. But, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This simply means that Noah found favor in God's sight. And we know the results of that favor. Escape for him and his family from the flood. But why Noah? Why Noah? Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? And how might we apply this to our situation today? If you're lost, you need to find favor with God. You need to find grace. Well, we see here in why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9 said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. He was perfect in his generation. That word translated from, he was blameless. Not that he was sinless, but that there were no blatant faults. He was a man of moral integrity among the people. When I studied this, really for some time the last few months, I found that how important morality is. Another thing we find about Noah was found in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Yes. He was a just man. Some translations, which I won't mention this morning, says that he was a righteous man. He was perfect in his generation. In other words, he was blameless. Not that he was sinless, but that there were no blatant faults. He was a man of moral integrity among the people. We also see that he walked with God. Noah walked with God. You notice that last three words in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. I don't think I can put enough emphasis on how important it is to walk with God. I'm one of his. This is how he manifests his righteousness and integrity. In walking with God, he imitated the example of Enoch, his great-grandfather. We see it in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God raptured him up. This is how he manifested his righteousness and integrity. In walking with God, he imitated the example that was set before him in his great-grandfather. I told my daughter. I said, you know, it's important that as a grandfather, or as a grandmother, that we live the right way in front of our grandchildren. And all you got to do is look at Noah. He went back to his grandfather, great-grandfather. In walking with God, he imitated example. We are to thank God that when our kids, I can remember, some of you can remember, Tom's son, when he was here at church and he was a little lad, you know who he wanted to grow up to be like? Your pastor. When somebody points you out and say, I want to be just like you, well, that responsibility on you of living right in front of them, it becomes even more important. Because at that age, they may not understand the scripture, but they understand the lifestyle of that individual. He did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Notice in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. When we say, I believe church attendance is important, you're saying that God has taught you that. And when you don't practice that, that's a sin. I believe that the Bible teaches this. I believe that the Bible teaches this. We become so much more accountable to God because we're acknowledging what God has taught us. See, he said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. In chapter 7 and verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. God used that two different times here in the book of Genesis. Why did Noah was chosen by the Lord? Because Noah did what God commanded him to do. And when God said, I want you to build an ark. And can you imagine? People looking at him and saying, look at that old fool. He's going to build an ark because it's going to come a flood. Doesn't he know that we don't get our water from the clouds, we get our water from the ground. But Noah knew something that the rest of them didn't know. Because Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, we learn from the writer of Hebrews that the obedience of Noah came from faith. Hebrews chapter 11, you can turn if you want to. I'm going to read one verse. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I'm saved by faith. I live by faith. God said it, I believe it. You want to be blessed? That's how you're blessed. Don't mean you're not going to have problems. But God's right there, see. I don't care how sick you get, what kind of situation you're in. If you're a child of God, God never leaves you. And God allowed it to come either as a chastening because of your lifestyle or because he's molding you for something that is great. We see something else about Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. He not only lived a righteous life, but he also proclaimed the need of righteousness, even though he lived in a very ungodly world. See, history is so important. And if you read the Old Testament and study the Old Testament, you would understand what is going on in the United States and around this world. Now, I'm like most people that don't listen to newscasts. I believe that the COVID virus was started in a lab in China. I believe that. I believe that it's real. But I believe that God is chastening this country because we have forsaken God. Right. And until America returns, better look up because your redemption draws nigh. Right. Noah certainly was an unusual man, but perhaps we see well why only he and his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What about ourselves? Is there a need for us to find grace in the eyes of the Lord today? Do we need that? The answer is yes. Yes. Our second point, why we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, not because we face the threat of a worldwide flood. After Noah and his family were saved from the flood, God promised that he would never again destroy this world by a flood. We see that in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you from all that goes out of the ark to every beast of the earth. What did he say? I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the water of a flood. Neither shall thee any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Now the flood was bad. But he's going to destroy this earth and it's going to be by fire. And despite what our politicians like us to believe, it's not going to be from an atomic bomb. It's not going to be from airplanes dropping all this. I tell you what is happening. Science will tell us that right above us is a gases. And God talks about them opening up, come down, and burn this earth to pieces. It's not science. It's Bible. But you got to believe it. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The rainbow is a constant reminder of God's promise in Genesis 9, 12 through 15. You know, he said in verse 12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for the future generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And this will come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. How did the devil pervert that? Now, the beautiful rainbow is a sign of sin, homosexuality, lesbianism. That's their sign. And it don't bother Christians, it don't seem to be. But because we face the promise of the end of the world, Peter reminds us that as the world was once destroyed by water, so it shall be destroyed by fire when Jesus returns. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. In the 2 Peter, chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of the coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'll do you a little doctrinal teaching. If you go to the first part of Peter, he's talking to his elect. He's not willing that one of his elect perish. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That conversation is better translated as a way of life. We are known what we are by our way of life. If you don't lie, you don't steal, that practice in your life tells everybody else, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't curse. God said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's a thief in the night. Now, if you knew that thief was coming, you'd be up there watching for him, wouldn't you? But are we watching for the Lord? I mean, after all, Lord, I gave you 2 hours Sunday morning. What do you want? What do you expect of me? I'll tell you what he expects of us. That we be mindful of him 24/7, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. See, The difference in generations, people, is that the younger generation, they believe and will grow up believing they deserve what they're getting. It's unfair if they don't get that. God said in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation or way of life and godly, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Let me tell you, when God destroys this world, He's going to open up the heavens, and it's not going to rain. It's going to rain fire. What kind of God would do that? What kind of individual would take advantage of what God has done for us? We use our God. We use our faith. Verse 13 said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. 1,000 years. Millennia. 1,000. The devil was put in a pit. After 1,000 years of complete peace and love and tranquility, God lets that old devil out, and you know what people do? They go right back to him. That's what religious Christian people are doing. God has healed their parents, healed their children, gave them a job. They're making more money than grandpa ever thought about. But where is God? Where's God? What about ourselves? Is there a need for us to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Why, we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not because we face the threat of a worldwide flood. After Noah and his family were saved from the flood, God promised he would never again destroy the world. We've seen that. The rainbow is a constant reminder. You know, anytime we have a rain, a certain, you know, I've run out in the yard. I just want to see that rainbow. That's the promise from God. That's not a promise that God has approved of that alternate lifestyle. No, no. That's God's promise that this world will not be destroyed by water in it. You know, but because we face the promise of the end of the world, Peter reminds us, just as the world was once destroyed by water, it shall be destroyed by fire when Jesus returns. We've seen that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, so we need to find grace. We need to be found by him in peace, without spot, blameless. You know, this is not simply another way of saying that we, like Noah, need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Indeed, it is when the end of the world comes, we had better be in a better condition where we too can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, how we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, God only have one way. We've seen when we started this message that Noah was just in God's sight. Fortunately, the good news of the gospel is that God sent Christ in order to make us just, righteously forgiven in his sight. Now, when we look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't wait till you got better. God didn't wait till you went through reform. Much more than in verse 9, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by what? His life. I'm not saved because I gave up this and gave up this and gave up this. I'm saved because he died in my place. The blessing is available to all who demonstrate true faith in the Lord. I mean, you've got to demonstrate. It's not just enough to say, I'm saved, I love the Lord. I mean, people talk about the Lord just like it was Uncle Joe came over and we're going to play some cards. But God said in Romans chapter 3, 24, Romans 3, 24, God said this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, let's take that verse. Being justified freely by his grace. Grace is an unmerited favor through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, which simply means that I'm justified because Jesus paid my sin debt on the cross of Calvary. 25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. It's all of him. It's all of him. Being justified, we can have peace with God concerning which Peter wrote and Paul wrote. You know, Romans 5:1, you know, tells us, what a beautiful verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I don't know when he's going to come. I don't know what condition the world is going to be in, except it's going to be much worse than it is now, and it's headed that way real quickly. But I'm at peace with it because I know before it really gets bad, God's going to take me out of here. Amen. You know, I've got to be careful. You know, I preached on the book of Revelations a few weeks ago, and I said I believe in pre-crib. And you go through your mind, the preachers that fell all over that. Brother Vance, I thought you was a mid-crib. Who told you that? I'm mid-crib. I'm pre-crib. You know what that means? Before God starts bringing judgment on the earth, I'm going to take a flight to glory. Amen. Would you like to debate that? No. I don't debate. I preach. If you think I'm wrong, give me scripture. Don't give me philosophy. How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, it's through the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified, we can have peace with God concerning our life. God, our peace, our everything that we have that works is in him. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, I believe, God said this. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's rightness. Where everything is right. Where everything is the way it should be. When God created the heaven and the earth and he created Adam and Eve, it was right. We must walk with God. Of course, this world means that we can no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You know, if I'm truly saved and you're truly saved, we've got to have some different opinion with the world. Now, God said in Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that we henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You want to test your spirituality? What does the lost world do? Are you doing that? We don't want to talk about that, do we? We don't want to preach on that. We don't want to write on that. But God said, this I say therefore and testify to the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You know, you can be ignorant in a lot of things and not be an ignorant person. I don't think I'm an ignorant person, but I'm ignorant when it comes to a lot of things, you know. Talking to the guy that's going to come and look at the furnace, and he said, now, you know, this, and I said, you know, he couldn't see my hand. You're talking Greek to me, and I don't speak Greek. I don't read Greek. The Bible is for all of us to understand that are saved. And God said, having you understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We read it and we know, and we keep reading it, and if we read it again and read it again, God says, may convict us. And there goes all my joy. Really? Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You may do it, but you didn't learn that from God. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. What do I preach or say probably more than any other? You want to act right, you got to think right. You are what you think. Evil thoughts in your mind, bad deeds come out. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? To do his Father's will. Rather, it requires that we be followers of God as dear children. When what he said in Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Walk in love is what he said in verse 2. Walk in love as Christ also loved us. And have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Walk as children of light, exposing the sin of darkness. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 11. In other words, all Paul is saying, if you believe it, walk it. Walk as wise. You know, when we go to Ephesians 5, 15, it says, seeing then that he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God said, and be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't let the Spirit of this world control you, but let the Spirit of God control you. Our last points. We must be preachers of righteousness. It is God's will that we proclaim the praise of Him, which would include His righteousness. I mean, you know. We have a neighbor. And she said, I don't know much about you and your wife, but y'all two are different than anybody we've ever met. Greatest compliment I've got since I moved to Carlisle. That's what being saved is all about. Somebody that doesn't understand salvation, but they said, man, I don't understand why they do what they do. We must be preachers of righteousness. This can be done most vividly by example in living transformed lives. That's our song leader and pianist get ready to come. Our last verses in Romans chapter 12. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he presents your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't just say this is what we believe, because what you and I believe will affect our lives. It'll change your life. Those who left the church, many of them, where are they now? Right back where they were before they made a profession of faith. Doesn't happen to me. Doesn't happen to you.